Close your eyes, keelradio.org. My name is Mark Caldwell, your DJ, your host. Welcome, welcome. After a week off for the Thanksgiving holiday, it feels good to be back. So I'm very thankful to be here again. And it was interesting, I was talking to someone last night just about the simple kind of difference that happens in life when we are willing to kind of look at it. Meaning kind of what Socrates said, the unexamined life is not worth living. And I have learned for myself when there is that healthy sense of observation or even a healthy sense of detachment to my own life, to what's going on, kind of observing it rather than being so kind of caught up in it. It does allow me to not get caught up in effects or stuff happening around me. And I guess it's kind of related to what we were talking about a few weeks ago when I was sharing from Conversations with God about one of the ways that the divine communicates is through experience. And I've been practicing listening to my experience rather than ignoring it and doing the same thing over and over because it's always the way I've done it, or it's just more convenient in a sense because it's familiar. And so for this past 2 weeks, I've been listening to my experience, and it's been different. So all that any of this is doing, whether it's philosophy or therapy or spirituality, is ultimately the purpose is to just look at life, look at your own life, look at it around you. And when we are able to do that, then we rise above the tried and true, the mediocre, the what's been done, all of that. We rise above it. And a renewal takes place. We can leave behind all the old, silly reasons that we hold on to as true. We can look at things in a new way so they don't look like they did before. So in this way, we release the need, or we resign ourselves from practicing boredom or choosing to be bored, and everything becomes brand new. So I wanted to start off with that because that is always, in a sense, the opportunity of, or the intention of this show is to invite all of us to have that healthy sense of detachment to our own life. It sounds funny to detach from one's own life, but to not get so caught up in it. To look at it as an observer were, to separate ourselves from the thinker that we are to the thoughts that we are thinking, so much of which are not our own thoughts. They are thoughts that are being replayed based on years and years of negative conditioning, is one way to put it. So that is what we're always about in life. And that is what my intention is with doing this show. And having not done it last Friday, I have to say it's so good to be back because it is a joy for me. So coming up later today, music-wise, we have new music by Bent. Also a band that I learned from the other show I do on Mondays here, a group called Climber. I believe they're out of Portland. We'll also hear from Gene Autry, Primal Scream, Goldie, an artist by the name of Slock. And then I guess by accident, I did this kind of funny 80s set. I got Echo and the Bunnymen and Thomas Dolby. So all coming up at the top of the hour. Or not top of the hour, coming up later today. So I thank you for joining. Know that whatever it is that you are willing to change in your life, it is ready to be changed. For each of us is more than capable of tapping into our own potential, tapping into that unawakened aspect of ourselves that is ready to be brought forward through us and as us. You're listening to Close Your Eyes on KeelRadio.org. Thank you.
not uncracked entirely.
Welcome back to Close Your Eyes on KillRadio.org. That last song we heard was a song called Viper Pit by the group Climber, an artist, a group that I learned about through the other show that I do on Mondays here at KillRadio.org, Mondays from 12 to 2 called Hear Hear. I do that show with John Hirschfield of Is Good. Before that, we heard a band that, if you've ever listened to this show before, chances are you've heard this band because I've probably played every single song that they've ever done. It's a group called Bent. They're out of England. A song called Stay Out All Night. It's off of a new album that they have called Intercept. And there's more from them coming because I haven't played the whole album yet. Not that I'm going to play the whole album because there's some stuff that isn't right for this show. It's just not right for the show. Anyway, you listen to Close Your Eyes on KillRadio.org. If you find you have any questions or want to say hi, you can always instant message me. Here at the station, we use the handle, if you will, for AOL Instant Messenger. It is Kill Radio Station, all one word, Kill Radio Station. I can generally chat when we're at music. During the show, I'll often find myself trying to read it and then talk at the same time, and I mess up, and I got caught one time. So anyway, I won't be doing that. But feel free to, if you have any questions or want to say hi or whatever. And so I'd like to start off today with something that I've been reading out of rereading out of Conversations with God. It really talks about, you know, here we started off talking about the examined life and how if we're not looking at it, then we kind of get trapped by it. Is really what ends up happening. We end up settling into the comfort of the familiar, regardless if it's comfortable or not. Many times we respond certain ways to things, not because it makes us feel good, but it's the way we've kind of been trained to respond. The way we've kind of been trained to think about things or trained to feel about things. I know for me, I still have it here and there, but I used to really badly. If I got bad customer service, I would be royally angry. And I've had to learn that just because it's bad customer service, I don't have to give it more meaning than, say, something else that would make you just as equally angry. So we look at our life. We look at how we're responding, and we look at where we are coming from. And sharing from Conversations with God, the Divine says, all human actions are motivated at their deepest level by one of two emotions, fear or love. In truth, there are only two emotions, only two words in the language of the soul. These are the opposite ends of the great polarity which I created when I produced the universe and your world as you know it today. Every human thought and every human action is based in either love or fear. There is no other human motivation. And all other ideas are but derivatives of these two. They're simply different versions, different twists on the same theme. So think on this deeply and you will see that it is true. This is what I have called the sponsoring thought. It is either a thought of love or fear. This is the thought behind the thought behind the thought. It is the first thought. It is the prime force. It is the raw energy that drives the engine of human experience. And here is how human behavior produces repeat experience after repeat experience. It is why humans love, then destroy, then love again. Always there is the swing from one emotion to the other. Love sponsors fear, sponsors love, sponsors fear. And the reason is found in the first lie, the lie which you hold as the truth about God, that God cannot be trusted, that God's love cannot be depended upon, that God's acceptance of you is conditional, that the ultimate outcome is thus in doubt. For if you cannot depend on God's love to always be there, on whose love can you depend? If God retreats and withdraws when you do not perform properly, will not mere mortals also? And so it is that in the moment you pledge your highest love, you greet your greatest fear. So the easy part of this whole little passage is that everything we do is based in fear and in love, or love, I should say, fear or love. So when we are angry, that's obviously coming from fear, obviously not love. And everything else is derivative from those two core kind of beliefs or expressions or understandings or motivations, whatever you want to call them, whatever you want to know them as. And when we can identify that, I think it really helps us to break through all the ways that we do things. And although this might sound funny, why would we not every moment want to be motivated by love? Our society or our culture would probably, you know, kind of encourage us to laugh at that because it sounds so silly. But ultimately, beyond all that, what is the greatest gift but doing things from a place of love and companionship and connection rather than fear, hate, disconnection, all those kind of things that ultimately are really why many aspects of the world look the way that it does. And so our opportunity, living a life with a healthy sense of detachment, with a wonderful sense of observation, separating the thoughts we think from ourselves as the thinker, observing as they go by, we get to see where is it that we're coming from And most of the time, it'll be from where it doesn't feel like we have a choice in the matter. We think we do, but when we really look at the thoughts we think, and even beyond that, the feelings we feel, the actions we take, oftentimes there is not choice. There is just kind of the robotic response, the automatic response. And so it may seem so silly to base everything out of fear and love, but being with all these years of training, with conditioning, with the way we've done things, to be able to go through now our life with a fine-tooth comb and to be willing to look at things and see where it's truly coming from, change that which needs changing, release old beliefs that are ready to be released. That is where the work really pays off. All of this sounds easy in theory, on paper. In practice, it might be another story. And I say it that way because there are times when my own stuff I'm working on has been quite easy. Other times, it's been quite difficult. So whatever you want to call it, enlightenment, renewing one's mind, learning a new way of doing things, it can sometimes be easy. It can sometimes take some time. So that is the opportunity we have before us when we begin to look. We get to see maybe more clearly, more closely, what's really going on. And then it's, to put it lightly or to put it nicely, it's interesting what it then goes into. You can see in our popular culture that we do ultimately live under a belief, a false belief, that the future somehow is uncertain, that we could be left behind or destroyed or hated. And so people respond accordingly. We look at each other with such sense of separation, with such a sense of disconnection, rather than a sense of oneness, of unity. And those very ideas are kind of foreign when you think about them. Like, wow, I get to know myself as one with everyone, every single person. And yet all the while, all I can do is look at, wow, that person's homeless. I don't want to be one with that person. Or that person looks funny. Or I don't like that person. I'm not one with that person. But ultimately, we get to move beyond the appearances. Just as the divine doesn't get caught up in our own appearance of who we think we are right now, the divine sees us as the divine knows us to be. And our opportunity is to know ourselves as the divine does. You're listening to killradio.org. Close your eyes.
Be honest with me, dear, whatever you do. Remember your mind, dear, so always be true. Wherever you wander, on land or on sea, if you really love me, be honest with me. My poor heart would break, dear, if you were untrue. Asleep or awake, dear, I dream about you. Oh, you are my darling, you're all that I see. If you really love me, be honest with me. Someday I'll return, dear, and make you my own. And how I will yearn, dear, when I'm all alone. I'll never forget, dear, your sweet memory. If you really love me, be honest with me. Be honest with me, dear, whatever you do. Remember your mind, dear, so always be true. Wherever you wander, on land or on sea, if you really love me, be honest with me.
Yes,
Close Your Eyes, killradio.org. That was the American Spring mix of Higher Than the Sun by Primal Scream. Before that, we heard Gene Autry's Be Honest With Me. And we began today talking about how everything is based in fear and love, especially in our relationships. And where I stopped from before, where the divine said, and so it is in that moment that you pledge your highest love, you greet your greatest fear. So it is very much a part of relationships, the ones with our family, with our intimate relationships, our husbands, wives, boyfriends, girlfriends, at that moment where we kind of bear all, express all, because of the way we've been conditioned, we seem to also meet our greatest fear. So the opportunity we have by recognizing that everything we do is based in fear and love is to release the need of operating out of fear. So as I continue, the divine says, every action taken by human beings is based in love or fear, not simply those dealing with relationships. Decisions affecting business, industry, politics, religion, the education of your young, the social agenda of your nations, the economic goals of your society, choices involving war, peace, attack, defense, aggression, submission, determinations to covet or give away, to save or to share, to unite or to divide. Every single free choice you have ever undertake arises out of one of the only two possible thoughts there are, a thought of love or a thought of fear. Fear is the energy which contracts, closes down, draws in, runs, hides, hoards, harms. Love is the energy which expands, opens up, sends out, stays, reveals, shares, heals. Fear wraps our bodies in clothing. Love allows us to stand naked. Fear clings to and clutches all that we have. Love gives all that we have away. Fear holds close. Love holds dear. Fear grasps. Love lets go. Fear rankles. Love soothes. Fear attacks. Love amends. Every human thought, word, or deed is based in one emotion or the other. You have no choice about this because there is nothing else from which to choose. But you have free choice about which of these to select. And it's interesting, the author kind of interjects about how easy it makes it all sound to choose one or the other. And yet it seems like oftentimes in the moment that fear wins out. And the divine kind of continues, you have been taught to live in fear. You have been told about the survival of the fittest and the victory of the strongest and the success of the cleverest. Precious little is said about the glory of the most loving. And so you strive to be the fittest, the strongest, the cleverest in one way or another. And if you see yourself as something less than this in any situation, you fear loss, for you have been told that it is to be less is to lose. And so, of course, you choose the action fear sponsors, for that is what you have been taught. And I teach you this. When you choose the action love sponsors, then you will do more than survive. Then will you do more than win. Then will you do more than succeed. Then will you experience the full glory of who you really are and who you can be. To do this, you must turn aside the teachings of your well-meaning but misinformed worldly tutors and hear the teachings of those whose wisdom comes from another source. There is many such teachers among you, as always there have been, for I will not leave you without those who would show you, teach you, guide you, and remind you of these truths. Yet the greatest reminder is not anyone outside you, but the voice within you. This is the first tool that I use because it is the most accessible. The voice within is the loudest voice with which I speak because it is closest to you. It is the voice which tells you whether everything else is true or false, right or wrong, good or bad, as you have defined it. It is the radar that sets the course, steers the ship, guides the journey, if you but let it. It is the voice which tells you right now whether the very words you are reading or hearing are words of love or words of fear. By this measure, can you determine whether they are words to heed or words to ignore? So what is ending with that, what is the divine is kind of implying is that all of us really have our own barometer. We truly have our own means of knowing all that we need to know, whether something is coming from fear or coming from love. And although religion seems to tell us that we're somehow not good enough or somehow not capable enough of making choices on our own, the divine is speaking here that we ultimately do, that we are empowered more than enough to not only know what is happening before us, if it is coming from fear or love, but also within ourselves to respond from that place, to move beyond the conditioning that we've all received in this society, in this world. Because ultimately, you can see where we come from is ultimately out of a divine consciousness of love and unity and oneness. It is not out of a destructive means or one that divides. We see both examples over and over in our society, and the examples of division, the remembrances of destruction seem to win out, seem to be more prevalent, or at least seem to be more remembered. And our opportunity is to see that none of us would be here ultimately if it wasn't for love. So much of that force is in back of where we are right now. No matter what our life looks like, no matter what kind of life we've had, ultimately, just looking at nature and how much it gives to us comes from a consciousness of love. There is never a shortage of air to breathe. Same with our bodies. With little to no management, you've heard me say this millions of times over, with little to no management on our part, or you can even say with much mismanagement on our part, our bodies respond and do so much for us without us needing to monitor every little minute thing. And the first thing the finger does when it gets cut is heal itself. The first thing our body does when we go to sleep is take care of everything still. We don't have to manage our digestion, make sure we're still breathing, make sure our heart's still beating. All those kind of things happen on its own. So in the very simplest of ways, so much so that we take it for granted. We take for granted our bodies and what they do, and nature and what it does for us. That we don't recognize that that is truly an expression of love. Just the love that is infused in life, that is one with life, that there's no separation between those two things. And so our opportunity is to first recognize that and to see that that is our foundation, that that is who we are. No matter who we are, no matter what we have done, no matter what has happened to us, our opportunity is to know that the very core of our being, the very inner workings of nature and our body and the way our mind works, there is love. Simple, direct, universal, unconditional. And so our opportunity is to see how we can more greatly embody and express love, where perhaps we have more readily chosen fear. Where can we apply the action of love where perhaps we have hid away or retreated or resisted? Okay, that was a lot of drum and bass. It's funny, I make these playlists in advance, sometimes months in advance, because I'm just kind of that kind of guy. I do things ahead of time kind of guy. And, yeah, that was a little on the drum and bassy side. So welcome back. That was an artist by the name of Slock with a song called Exalted. Before that, we heard Goldie and the Ronnie Size and DJ Crest remix of Inner City Life. And what have we been talking about but fear and love? Those being really the core choices. And what is the opportunity then for us to kind of move away from this conditioning of fear, or the conditioning that fear brings us? Ultimately, what this allows us to do when we start operating from a place of love, when we start expressing from a place of love, when our thoughts, our feelings, our actions come from a place of love, and that is, we get to really come to know ourselves as the divine knows us. And in sharing from that, or in relation to that, the divine goes on to say, there's only one purpose for all of life, and that is for you and all that lives to experience fullest glory. Everything else you say, think, or do is attendant to that function. There is nothing else for your soul to do, and nothing else your soul wants to do. The wonder of this purpose is that it is never ending. An ending is a limitation, and God's purpose is without such a boundary. Should there come a moment in which you experience yourself in your fullest glory, you will in that instant imagine an ever greater glory to fulfill. The more you are, the more you can become. And the more you can become, the more you can yet be. The deepest secret is that life is not a process of discovery, but a process of creation. You are not discovering yourself, but creating yourself anew. Seek, therefore, not to find out who you are. Seek to determine who you want to be. And so the opportunity of this is, we kind of come from that place. You can see it's proactive. It isn't stagnant. It isn't intellectual. It isn't kind of looking backwards. Looking to ultimately determine who we want to be individually and collectively, for that matter, allows us to look forward, to look progressively rather than regressively. It allows us to come from a true place of creativity rather than kind of a reactionary kind of place of trying to figure out, well, why is this and what is really going on and blah, blah, blah. It's twofold, I think, because of where we're at in our own evolution of beingness, that we have to look at what's going on in that sense of examining life. But at the same time, we get to be decisive of where it is that we are going, or where it is that we choose to go. So where would you like to go today? What is next for you? And when we meditate on this, when we ask this question that really isn't a question at all, but really a command, when we ask it from the place of knowing, the world opens up beyond perhaps our wildest imagination, because we are no longer looking at ourselves, but we're being open and receptive to being guided and directed to what is next. So that is our opportunity. That is really what is ultimately our purpose, if you will, is to not only know ourselves as God knows us, but to express ourselves in the fullest. from a place that is beyond all the limited things that seem to be holding us back. So we are here to ultimately recreate ourselves, to come and decide who we are and to show up as that. If you heard me talk about, I was sharing from the same book, a chapter on relationships, and oftentimes in relationships, when we're in them, we're always kind of in this place of wanting to get something from the other person and they're wanting to get something from us, when the whole purpose is really for us to show what is to decide what we want to have show up. What aspect of myself do I want to have show up in this relationship? What aspect of myself, what greater aspect of myself do I choose to have come forth through me and as me, to express by means of me in this moment, in this relationship, in this time? And so too is our ability to approach life, to come from, well, what is next? What am I up for now? What would I like to see myself expressing? It's a very empowering place, because it's not coming from a place of waiting, or a place of expectation, or a place of effects, of living life on the side of effects. We are truly coming from cause when we come from that place. We are coming from a place of receptivity, of openness, and really responsibility. So our opportunity is to know that we are here to renew, to choose who we want to be, and to be that. To make that decision, to be open, to be receptive. And in the choice, you can see, in that choice of choosing, in that act of choosing, all that is keeping us from that kind of gets pushed aside. So perhaps, let's say for example, in your intimate relationships, or intimate relationship, what is it that you'd like to have show up? For me, for where I'm at, I would say something to the effect of, or I would choose, I would like openness. I'd like the openness of my being, my receptivity to people, to this person, to each person. And my ability to be non-attached and yet be totally unconditionally loving. That's what I would love to see show up. So we get to choose that, or whatever it is for you. So that is the opportunity that we have before us, to choose, to decide who it is that each of us wants to be. In every expression of relationship, from the most intimate to the ones with strangers, we get to decide. It's almost like, how is it I'd like to be seen? Or how is it I'd like to express? There's so many ways we can look at that and decide. So let's determine who it is we want to be. And remember that. And not be willing to settle for anything less. Close Your Eyes, KillRadio.org. That was Thomas Dolby with the song I Scare Myself. Before that, a little kind of jarring how it just kicked right in, but a great song, Echo and the Bunnymen's Bring on the Dancing Horses. And before we go to meditation, I'd just like to share one more thing that's kind of related to this whole conversation we've been having with Conversations with God as the kind of foundation of it. And again, this is I've been sharing from Conversations with God, Book 1. It's a series of books, and this is one of the first spiritual books I've ever read, and one of the most empowering. And if any of this has resonated with you, I highly, and you're not familiar with this book or haven't ever read it, I encourage you to take a look at it, to read it, because it's amazing. I mean, I bought this book, gosh, over 10 years ago, and I'm rereading it again, and it just feels brand new even again. So anyway, let me just catch up to myself. Oh, okay. Here we go. I totally lost my place. The author asked, Neil Donald Walsh, he asked, there are those who say that life is a school and that we are here to learn specific lessons and that once we graduate, we can go on to larger pursuits, no longer shackled by the body. Is this correct? And the divine response, it is another part of your mythology based on human experience. Life is not a school? No. We are not here to learn lessons? No. Then why are we here? To remember and recreate who you are. I have told you over and over again, you do not believe me. Yet that is well as it should be. For truly, if you do not create yourself as who you are, that you cannot be. School is a place you go if there is something you do not know that you want to know. It's not a place you go if you already know a thing and simply want to experience your knowingness. Life, as you call it, is an opportunity for you to know experientially what you already know conceptually. You need learn nothing to do this. You need merely remember what you already know and act on it. The author, not understanding, the divine continues, let's start here. The soul, your soul, knows all there is to know all the time. There is nothing hidden to it, nothing unknown. Yet knowing is not enough. The soul seeks to experience. You can know yourself to be generous, but unless you do something which displays generosity, you have nothing but a concept. You can know yourself to be kind, but unless you do someone a kindness, you have nothing but an idea about yourself. It is your soul's only desire to turn its grandest concept about itself into its greatest experience. Until concept becomes experience, all there is speculation. I've been speculating about myself for a long time. Longer than you and I could collectively remember. Longer than the age of this universe times the age of this universe. You see then how new is my experience of myself. And so before I go into this, I probably should have stopped before going to this new kind of concept. But what he's saying is we know all that there is to know. But if we just know it, then that doesn't really get us anywhere, or there's no real joy in that or no real experience of it because it's all intellectual. It's all conceptual. Kind of like how we kind of, many people relate to God. They know the word, or they know that they believe in God, but ultimately what does that get us if all we know is the word of God? We know the words, and we believe in God, but we know we don't have any other experience. So beyond knowing, we must experience. So beyond just believing in God, we must believe as God believes. And the divine is saying that unless we practice these things, then we can only but know them intellectually. And then there is no joy in that because it's not a full experience. So each of us knows, if we shut our ego up for a moment, each of us knows that we are loving, that we are lovable, and that we need not be bothered by the things that bother us. But until we start practicing that, until we start choosing love in the moment where it looks as if it's chaotic, or looks as if it's disharmonious or disconnected, then there is no opportunity, there's no true knowingness. Having an illumined mind, a mind that is enlightened, isn't enough. Our heart must also be awakened for our soul to be fully realized. And that may all sound very poetic, but it is ultimately the truth. So many people know things intellectually, but their practice of this knowledge is scant, is nil. And so sometimes the smartest people can be kind of socially ignorant because of they're so caught up in just knowing. Knowingness is the first step. Practice is the second. And that leads to a fuller, a more complete expression of knowing. So each of us has the opportunity to decide what it is that we are, who it is that each of us wants to be. Each of us has the opportunity to determine that, to make that decision, to make that choice. And then from there, to act upon it. So decide and act. And sometimes in that process, especially if we are moving away from doing things a certain way that ultimately no longer serve us or we see don't really work, we must have other means to support ourselves in this process because we are going through a retraining. It takes things like meditation to, in a sense, work on the soul at the level of the soul. Almost as if when we go to a trainer or a gym and we work on the body at the level of the body. It also helps if we are in classes that support our knowingness, whether they be spiritual or psychological. Also, working with people of like mind, whether they be counselors or therapists or spiritual practitioners. There is so much that the world has to support us in this determination of who it is that we are, of what is next, of who it is each of us wants to be, that all we have to do is open our minds, is to know, is to decide. And it reveals. So let us now go into meditation and really solidify this in mind and heart, to really allow this to come forward, to reveal. And so I invite you now, if you can, to sit back, close your eyes if you choose. If you're not able to, just be with this meditation. Let these words in, these expressions of truth, resonate within you as we begin. Thank you. So just easily and effortlessly, just be conscious of breathing in and breathing out. Just allow your mind to rest, your heart to become open. Just allow your body to breathe in and then exhale. Each inhale like a delicacy, each exhale an opportunity to give back, to circulate life, to align with it. Each breath cleanses, each breath renews, each breath solidifies. That we know that we are one with life, that everything that expresses life is simply expressing the divine. So as our mind rests and our heart settles, they open up, moving beyond the body so they express outward, upward. We are open. We are receptive to listening, to knowing from a deeper place, to allowing our higher self to come forward. So know these words with me as I speak them for all of us. Here and now, my life begins anew. And I look upon it with a healthy sense of separation. I observe my life as it unfolds. I look upon the thoughts I think so that I see what is coming from love or what is coming from fear. Without any judgment or resistance, I simply observe and I acknowledge what is going on. So within me now is the perfection of life, and I uniquely embody it. I uniquely let it come forth through me and as me. Perfect life, perfect being. And so knowing that in back of me, at the core of my being, is the entire expression of love throughout the whole universe, then I see that I get to express love more so than ever before. That I get to embody it and allow it to reveal more so than ever before. And just as all the love of the universe is within me, is at the core of my being, so too is all the intelligence, the wisdom. It is right where I am. The intelligence of the universe is within me. And I now am willing to allow it to flow. With the simplicity of a child, I just accept that it is, and I am open to its expression through me and as me. So perfect love, perfect intelligence, uniquely expressed through me and as me now. Through the words I speak, the thoughts I think, the feelings I feel, the actions I take. This love, this intelligence, is mine for the expressing. So I let it express forth through me and as me. I'm simply yielding to the divine expression of life that I embody. And as the perfect means of expression, I simply let more through. So I release the need to hesitate, to hold back, to resist. For I see that I am divinely guided, that I am supported in all ways. And just by accepting this, it is done. Divinely guided, divinely supported. By accepting this, it is done. So I let it settle within. I let it take its place through me and as me now. So where is it that I get to go? Who is it that I want to be? What now would I like to see show up in my life? What is next for me? I ask all of this from the place of knowing. Knowing that by simply asking, I am opening my mind and heart. I'm opening myself up to what is next. And so I choose who it is that I am, leaving behind who it was I thought I was. I am more than this. I am more than my current understanding. Through no fault of my own, I am more than my current level of experience. And so, by asking, what is next for me? Who it is I want to be? Asking from the place of knowing. Asking not in the form of a question, but in the form of a command. The universe within opens up and starts expressing itself, showing up in this physical universe, all around me, through me, as me. So I allow myself to be receptive and open. And I allow my mind and heart to unite, for my soul to come forth. And I listen with the totality of my being, so that who I am reveals, and who I am not goes away. So I surrender, I yield to what is next, to who I am. And I allow myself to be guided and directed in the right and perfect way. So I go forward knowing that I already know, that I already am, and I now decide what it is of myself I choose to experience. So with the simplicity of a child, I ask and I rest in the knowing that at the perfect time and place, all comes into form. All comes to pass. All reveals. So seeing that the future is wide open, that the horizon in the distance glows with anticipation, I accept all of this as being complete. And so I'm grateful for this opportunity to come forward, to recognize who I am, and to allow it to reveal itself through me and as me. And I'm grateful for this opportunity to commune with the divine expression of life that we call God, to see that I am a reflection of it. And so to allow it to be at every level of my being. So I'm grateful for the days ahead. I see that they are mine for the creating. They are mine to determine who it is that I am. So I accept this new level of freedom that allows me to choose, to decide, to renew. And so I'm grateful for all of this, for this opportunity, for this moment of time, for my life, for life itself. Thank you, Mother, Father, God. We are grateful for this opportunity to commune with you, to recognize ourselves as you, uniquely, individually, and we now go forward easily and effortlessly, knowing that we are guided, supported, maintained. That these words, these simple expressions of truth, with your power in back of them, they do their perfect work as they come into form from the unseen side of life. Revealing, renewing, empowering. So we release all of this. It is complete and it is done. We let it go forth so that it may do its perfect work with gratitude, with trust. We know this to be already so, and so it is. Amen. Welcome back. I want to thank you so much for joining me today. You've been listening to Close Your Eyes on killradio.org. The opportunity of meditation is to listen at a deeper level, to allow that divine intelligence that kind of runs through all of air, in a sense, to let it come in. Whenever you've had an idea of something it is that you wanted to do, or some idea came to you that was like really empowering or healing, that is just simply we were open and receptive for the divine to come through. So that is the opportunity that meditation gives us, the opportunity to listen, to create a greater awareness of that divine intelligence and wisdom, and to have a fuller expression of who it is that each of us is. So as a reminder, Close Your Eyes webcasts every Friday from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific time at killradio.org. And if you'd like to download a podcast of this show, it will be available through killradio.org. Also, if you look at the archive section of our Kill Radio's webpage. Also, if you'd like the specific link to this show, just go to my MySpace page, which is myspace.com/close_your_eyes_1. The number one. I'll say it again. But anyway, what you'll see is the link there that allows you to download the show. And I do it as one complete 2-hour episode, so to speak, where all of this is available at no cost. myspace.com/close_your_eyes_1. And then the number one. close_your_eyes_1. One. I know, I took me so long to get the right one, to get the one that I wanted. And I came up with that because close your eyes was already taken as one word. close_your_eyes was already taken. Probably should have came with something different. Oh, well, it is what it is. And once you have it, it's just a bookmark. So we heard a lot of great music today. If I do say so myself. If you'd like to contact me during the week, you can always email me at awakeningdaily@yahoo.com. Again, awakeningdaily@yahoo.com. But if you're on MySpace, of course, you can just, you know, add yourself, if not already, to we can add each other as friends, and then you can always email me that way. myspace.com/close_your_eyes_1. Okay, that's the last I'm going to say it. So as we close out, coming up next is a re-webcast of the show Hear Hear. I think it's from 2 weeks ago. Again, Hear Hear is an all-submission show. It's new music. Bands submit. We play it. No quality control. We're just all for it. So that is coming up next on killradio.org.